All right, all right. You guys are having fun with it this morning, man. How many of you love coming to church? Love being with God's people, huh? Is it an amazing time or what? So those of you that are coming on Facebook, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us. Let's give them a hand in the house this morning. We're glad you guys are here. There's several people that come on. Man, there's several people that come to our church and attend our church and have attended our church in the past. There's some people come on that don't even, never even step foot in these doors, but they still come and join us online. And that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing, huh? So today, we're going to get into it, man. And Chrissy laughed at me a minute ago. I said, it's going to be shorter today. And she's like, that's what you said last time. I was like, yeah, but I made less notes today. So hopefully we're going to go through it. All right. Y'all ready? We've been talking about the covenants, man. And let's pray before we get into it. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Father God. We thank you for today, for your love, grace, and mercy. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, Victory Church, Father God. And we ask that you would help us now as we go through your word, as we look at the new covenant, Father God, as we see how it applies to our life and ways that Jesus fulfilled it, Father God. I ask that you would help us now walk in your new covenant, Father God. And accept what you've done for us and allow the relationship to start with you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. How many of you know it's about a relationship? How many of you know from the beginning? And all of these covenants that we went through, again, when we talk about a covenant and what it is, it's an agreement between two or more people, usually a binding agreement. There's the different types of them. You can go back and listen to the other weeks, whether it's a unilateral or a bilateral. Principle is bilateral. Aaron and I go into a bilateral agreement. I say, Aaron, you're going to do, Aaron says, I'm going to do this. And I say, I'm going to do that. And as long as we do our ends of the bargain, the covenant is there, right? In the scripture, there was what was called a blood covenant. And we see it over and over again in scripture. We see the first blood covenant in the Garden of Eden when they broke the Edenic covenant, which God said, hey, this is you guys. You're going to run everything. You're going to be in charge of everything. This is the Toby translation of it, so go back and read your word, right? So you're gonna rule over everything, and that was the Edenic covenant in a nutshell, and what it goes to. Hey, you guys are gonna be in charge of this. You guys are gonna grow. And at that time, what happened? God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. God had a relationship with them, and he spent time and dwelt with them always. Would come and go, right? But he had a relationship. He talked to them. He spoke to them. And that was gone and taken from Adam when they ate from the tree they weren't supposed to do. How many of you know we want the things that we're not supposed to have more so than the things we are allowed to have, right? When you ask somebody about what does it mean to be a Christian, they're like, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. They don't tell you about the good things, right? And it's not that you can't do those things, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. It's not that you can't do those things, it's that you don't want to do those things to continue the relationship. Right? To keep up the relationship. So we go to the Adamic covenant that he made with Adam and mankind. And you read about that in Genesis chapter 3. And again, you can go back and listen to all these. So I don't want to spend too much time on them. But that is about redemption. Hey, we made an agreement. I made a covenant. You broke it. I'm going to make a new one so that we can still be in covenant. That's what God did. How many know all the covenants that God did, men are the ones that broke them all. Men are the reason why we had to have them over and over and over and over and over again, right? We go on down through all these. We go to the Noahic covenant where God shows his restraint and says, I will never again curse the earth because of man. I will never destroy the earth by way of flood again. Then you go to the Abrahamic covenant and it talks about restoring and bringing his people back to him, right? When he gets to Abram, at the time, he makes the covenant with him. He says, I'm going to make a great nation of you. I'm going to bless you. People of the world are going to be blessed because of you, because of what I'm doing right now. All the world is going to be blessed. You know, that starts the march to where Jesus comes in. That covenant right there. Now, it is needed because of Adam and Eve in the garden, like we said, and then coming on down, all these different things. And the Noahic covenant, depending on what you believe and how you study it, I always tell you what I believe, but I want you to study it. How many of you know you're supposed to study it? You're supposed to get in the Word, find out for yourself, right? Whether I'm teaching or whether you're listening to somebody on the radio or whoever's in this place right here, you're supposed to take what they say, go home and check it against the Word of God. If it doesn't line up, kick it out. You know, that's a squirrel. I'm not going to get on a squirrel today because I'm not, at least not this one. So coming on down, you have the Abrahamic covenant, which restores. And when we look at it, the nation, the place that's going to come from him comes from when they go to Egypt. Again, one of the main things that you need to pay attention to when it talks about what God has promised you or the things that God has told you or the things that you're praying about, sometimes they may be answered and you may never see them. Doesn't mean that they're not answered. You say, what does that mean? Well, there wasn't a nation of Israel until 400 years after they were in Egypt. Abraham wasn't there to see them go in as 70 people and come out a nation, right? He didn't see that. He didn't see his ancestors numbering as many of the stars that were in the sky. He didn't see that here. Doesn't mean God didn't do it. So again, going back, and I said this at the end of Mother's Day last week, man, if you're praying for your kids and you haven't seen them come to God and you're wondering, God, it's not over yet. It's not over yet, right? I like that one song, and the story isn't over if the story isn't good. Isn't that the song that we sing up here? It's a true statement, right? If you don't see the good coming out of it, probably the story's not over yet. The promise hasn't come yet. Doesn't mean it's not going to come. Amen? So going through all these covenants, these are promises that he's given to us. And then the Mosaic covenant was talking about the law being given to us. And it's through Israel. It's to reveal that we need a Savior, that we need help, because we can't do it. And one of the things about the Mosaic covenant, why it was doomed to start from the beginning, are you ready for this? Because man says, I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Do you know the problem with that? You can't do it. Not without God. Not without God. You can't do it without God. So, the Mosaic covenant shows us that. Then the Palestinian covenant we talked about is about a land that was given. The land, the promised land that was coming. Not just the promised land back then, but the promised land to come. Why do we know it wasn't the promised land in Genesis that it was talking about? Because it says it will be established forever. Is that promised land? The land is still there, but does that belong to the Israel? Does that belong to Israel? Not the Israel, but Israel or the Jews? I'm putting them both together. Y'all know what I'm saying. I'm going to slow down. Does it belong to them today? No. So when he says this land is going to be yours for eternity, forever, that means this hasn't come to pass yet. Remember what I said about things that haven't come to pass yet. You know when that's going to come to pass? Later, the millennial reign, Jesus. It's when that comes, right? So then you have the Davidic covenant where the king that's going to preside over this kingdom is going to come through the lineage of David, through one of his kids, right? Through the ancestry. When you look down, that's why going back to Jewish culture and reading the Torah and the book all the way down where it shows, how many of y'all get into numbers and you get to this one begat that one and begat this one and begat this one? You're like, man, I can't read none of them and I'm just going to skip over this. Do you know why that's important? Do you know why that's important? Because it shows the line that comes all the way down and fulfills the prophecy where Jesus is the Messiah. Without this genealogy coming down that is boring to read but very important, he can't be the Messiah if it doesn't line up right. But it does. Again, what do they say? How many prophecies did Jesus fulfill? All of them, or he's not the Messiah, right? He fulfilled all of them. And even the ones that we haven't seen yet, again, as in the millennial reign and what's going to come. So with the Edenic covenant, we see Jesus restore creation, right? When the day comes and the new Jerusalem is here, it will be restored. Amen? That comes from him. The redemption that comes from the Adamic covenant. What was that? That was fulfilled on the cross. When he died on the cross and his blood was shed for you and for me. Restoration so that we can come back to God. Then you come on down. The Abrahamic covenant. Jesus is part of Abraham's lineage. He's a part of the line of Abraham. Then you come to the next one. Mosaic covenant. One of the things that I love about the Mosaic covenant is the fact that Jesus walked just like you and I did. Knows exactly what you and I face. Knows exactly what you and I battle, and did it without sinning. And did it without sinning. Or he's not the Messiah. Right? So he did it without sin. He's not the spotless lamb. He's the sacrifice is not a clean, pure sacrifice. How many of you know Jesus did it without sinning? Shows us that we can live a holy life in him. In him. The in him is important. The in him is important. Like, that's the most important part of the situation. But he can sympathize with us. The scripture says we don't have a high priest that can't sympathize with what we're going through, because he did all of it, yet didn't sin. And he's sitting as our advocate next to the Father, according to scripture. Right? Then you come to the Davidic covenant. And the reason why I'm going through all these is because I'm showing you how Jesus fulfilled them. Right? Then you come to the Davidic covenant, and it's the reign. Jesus is the Davidic king, the king that's going to come and reign for eternity forever. And again, just like the Jews, people wanted it. Do you know why they had such a hard problem believing Jesus is still the Messiah after his death, even though they have the resurrection? Because they wanted to see the kingdom on earth. They wanted to see Jesus come and just destroy the Roman government and take over, and this is my kingdom, and nobody else can do anything about it. How many of you know God doesn't do things the way that we think he should do them sometimes? How many of you are glad he doesn't do them the way we think he should do them sometimes, especially in hindsight, right? So you go through all of these, and now we're going to get to the new covenant. And when we get into the new covenant, man, it's established through Jesus. It's talked about in the old covenant as well. That's one of the things. If you look at, there's a lot of people that discount the old covenant with the new covenant, and they discount the Old Testament, and they only bring forth the New Testament. But how many of you know if you don't put them both together, it's wrong? Do you know that you can see the New Testament all over the Old Testament? And you can see the Old Testament all over the New Testament. It all works together. Now, you say, well, it's different now because of this and because of that. Well, maybe, probably not, but maybe. Right? There's some things that happen. How many of you know the commandments that were given are still laws that we're supposed to follow? The difference is he helps us follow them. We're following them for a different reason. Not because I have to, but because I choose to. Again, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But we first see Jesus talking to his disciples about the new covenant when he is about to go to the cross, right? Luke chapter 22, I'm going to read 16 through 20. Do I have 16 through 20 in there, J-Dog, or just 20? Well, then y'all just listen. Just listen. It'll be good. For I tell you, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So he's at Passover meal with the disciples. This is where we have communion. This is the first communion that takes place. He says, this is what's happening. I'm not going to do this again until I get into the kingdom. So I met with April, and I went down to Tampa, and her cousin lives down there now, and her cousin is Jewish. She converted to Judaism, and we were talking about Passover and the covenants and the different things and the festivals and all those things that were going on. Because you know what? I believe when we get to the new kingdom, we're going to be celebrating these things. Say, why do you say that? Because right here, Jesus says, I'm not going to take the Passover meal again until I'm in the new kingdom. Which means what? We're going to have a Passover meal in the new kingdom. Right? That's what it says right there. So I was interested in asking her those things. But in doing that, I got to learn a bunch of stuff. And it all points back to Jesus and what he said. Right? So it says this, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it to them and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after he had eaten, saying, this is the cup. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. What is Jesus saying at this moment? What happens is remember when we talked about the blood covenant, the blood sacrifice in the Old Testament? What would happen? They would split an animal in half. They would put the pieces on the ground, and both parties of the contract would walk through the halves that were there. That's where the blood covenant comes from. And what would happen was, is as they were walking through this, what they were saying, if I don't keep up my end of the covenant, may what happened to this animal happen to me. That's what was said. So it was not just a yeah, high five, what's up? We're gonna do that, bro. And it was a covenant. It was a coming together. Look back in your scripture, it's there. Blood covenant. That's what it's all about. And so what happens is Jesus is saying right now that I am about to shed my blood as a blood sacrifice for the covenant, for the new covenant that is coming, for the new covenant that you get to be a part of. He's talking to him there. We look at Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. Paul's talking to the Gentiles here. He says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcised by what is called the circumcised. So that means the Jews were calling the Gentiles uncircumcised, not worthy, not available to be a part of the family. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise. Notice he says covenants. There are several covenants. They were not available to be a part of those covenants, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, there's that statement that's so important again. In Christ. In Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by what? By the blood of Christ. The blood sacrifice that was taking place. The new covenant that is there. In Hebrews, it says this, Hebrews 9:15, it says, therefore, he is a mediator of the new covenant so that those who are called may receive the promise eternal inheritance. Since the death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. So the things that have happened, the things that you can't keep, now you can. Now you can walk in them. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for you. This is the new covenant. Now, I love what he says in the other scriptures. He's like, we get grace, so we should sin a whole bunch so we can use up grace, right? No. He says, heaven forbid, no. We're supposed to be holy. How many of you know that? We're supposed to walk a holy life. We're supposed to do our best to do everything according to God's word. How many of you know we fall down? Okay, you guys probably don't because you're holier than me, but I fall down, right? That's what happens. We fall down. We mess up. There's things that happen that he paid for us to give them to him. But now, you know what? Again, going back to my scariest scripture in the Word of God, how many of you know if we continue to sin deliberately just because we can, it's a scary place because Hebrews 10:26 says there remains no more sacrifice for sin if we deliberately sin after receiving the knowledge of God. Now, is there a difference between sinning and deliberately sinning? Yep. How many of you know if you killed somebody, there's a difference between murder and manslaughter? They're still not good things, but there's a difference. One was an accident, one was on purpose, right? There's some different, and you know in the Old Testament, there were cities. We talked about them, I think there were six cities that were, if someone committed manslaughter, killed somebody on accident, they could go there for refuge and hide, right? There were six of them. I named them off the other day because the Google machine's amazing, y'all. I'm just saying. But they were like, man, you're really smart. I'm like, yes, I have Google. But anyway, so there's a difference between sinning on purpose and living a lifestyle of sin and sinning. You guys with me? Some of you guys are still cocking your head sideways like this. And like, I'm not sure about what you're saying. It's a true statement. There is. And the part of it's in a relationship. The part of it is in how we deal with the sin that comes into our lives. And you say, well, what does that mean? You look back at Saul and David. We go back to that. We talked about it in the Davidic covenant when I talked about how David said, I have sinned against you, God. Not let's just cover it up and pretend like it didn't happen and we'll maybe take care of it later. There's differences to it. David owned it and said, hey, it's me. I've done this. I've sinned against you, God. And because of it, repentance came, right? It happens for us. Hebrews 9:15, it says, therefore, he is the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal life. I just read this, didn't I? It's all right, it's important too. May receive the promised eternal inheritance, since death has occurred that redeems us from transgressions committed under the first law. Now I want to take us back into the Old Testament, because again, when you look in the Old Testament, like I said, the Old Testament is all over the New Testament. The New Testament is all over the Old Testament. It talks about the new covenant that's going to come in there. Jeremiah 31 through 34 said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord." Says this, "I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more." How many of you are thankful that he will remember our sin no more? Do you know what he puts in, the word that he puts inside of us? Do you know what that is? That's his spirit that is inside of us, that comes and dwells inside of us, that lives inside of us, that is the relationship that we should have had from the beginning, but was gone because of sin. Not because what Christ has done, this new covenant that is there, we have access to the Father. We have the Spirit who lives inside of us. You know, I saw a thing the other day. It was funny. I send people memes. They send me memes. We laugh about stuff. But one of the ones that was sent to me was hilarious. It said, "Dressing up or acting right in church, or dressing up for church, is like dressing up for an X-ray." Right? Putting on your game face for church is like dressing up for an X-ray. Because you walk in that door, do you know what God sees? Not this. He sees this. And that's the one who's important. How many of you understand that he sees you all the time? He's with you always. And again, if we would put that in our thought process, it would change the way we did things. "Well, nobody's watching." Okay, you think so. God is there always. And it says he will put his law in our hearts. He will. Why is it important that we study the Bible? Why is it important that we look at his promises? Why is it important that we don't just read it? How many of you read a book and then you don't ever read it again? Like, that's you. Like, "Well, I've already read this book. I don't need to read it again." Do you know the Bible is the one that you should never do that with? Because it doesn't change. Your perspective of it changes with your situation. God always shows you different things. It's alive. Scripture's alive, the word says, right? Why? Because when I need something, it shows it to me. Sometimes it's not going to show it to me because I'm not going to remember it when the time comes. I mean, you got too much stuff going on up there already, right? He puts his word in our heart that as David said, we might not sin against him. We might not sin against him. He says, "Know me." In Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, it says, "And I will give them a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. He'll take the hard heartedness out of you and put in a soft heart that will receive fertile ground. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Do you notice it doesn't say that the rules are going to go away, you're just going to be a good person and it's okay? No. It says, "I will cause you to do the right thing." Why? Because he lives inside of us. If we are walking by the Spirit, we're not going to do the wrong things. Do you know when we do the wrong things? When we're drawn out by our own lusts and desires, what the Scripture says. Drawn away from what God wants us to do and what he wants us to be. And we're like, "I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to take care of what I want. This looks shiny. I'm going to go for it," right? That's what happens. And we walk away from what God has for us. It's not that God left us. I mean, you know, he's still with you. In the, as we said last week, in the valley of the shadow of death, feel no evil because you're with me, right? How many of you know he's with you even when you do dumb stuff? Wait for you to turn around and be like, "I just did dumb stuff. Help me." Do you know that? Again, not, I'm gonna stop. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." How amazing is that? How amazing is that? With the new covenant comes a couple promises, some things that we need to understand. And I'm gonna use some different scriptures to tell you what they are, and we're gonna go through them. But the first thing, the promises that he gives to us in his new covenant, is the first one in your notes, number one, persistent presence. His persistent presence. His presence never leaves us. Never leaves us. He's always there for us. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with all that you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God is always with us. Again, as I quoted the scripture, Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No matter where you're at in your life, God is with you always. So let's remember that. Let's remember in the darkest times when we go sit in front of the doctor and they tell us something we don't want to hear. You know what? God's with you and he's going to take care of you. When something happens that you didn't see coming, you don't know what's going on, you don't know how you're going to handle it, you know what? God is with you. He's going to take care of you. It's time for us to understand that his presence never leaves us. The next thing that he tells us in his word is that he will give us rest. How many of you need some rest? How many of you know anxiety, stress, they take your rest away from you? The thoughts that come, the evil imaginations is what the scripture calls it, they take your rest from you. How many of you know when you're going through something, your mind runs, you don't get rest at night. You don't get sleep. You don't get, you're always bound up. He doesn't want us to be bound up. He came that we could have freedom, right? Life and life more abundantly. That's why he came. It wasn't life just there. It's life here too. Right? All the promises he's given us just isn't just for the promised land, so we're going to live a horrible life here and then go to the good times. No. He wants us to have good times here. He wants us to have, what? Why? How can you say that? Well, he took them to the promised land, the land of milk and honey, the land that had everything that they needed, the land that took care of what they needed even more than what they could imagine. Remember the dudes walking back with a cluster of grapes on each shoulder? Either they were really, really little dudes or those were some big grapes, right? Maybe both. Maybe a little bit of both, right? But I'm telling you what, God wants us to have good things here too. He doesn't want us to live horrible, wretched lives here and then have glory there. But you know what? He doesn't want us to boast in the life that we have here and to put our glory in that and our praise in what we have. They want the praise to go to him. Scripture says that he'll give you rest. Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you know he wants to help you with everything that you go through? Do you know why some of the things that you got in your life are so heavy? Because you're trying to tote them all by yourself. You're trying to tote them and your excess baggage that you're bringing with you from stuff in your past that you need to let go and be free from. Because Jesus paid for freedom. He paid for us to have rest. The next thing in your notes, strength. He wants to give us strength in his new covenant. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, it says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He's going to give you strength to be able to go through the things that you need to go through. He's going to be there for you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to strengthen you. Do you know why? This is a Toby thought. Do you know why we get so stressed out and worried and frustrated and overrun with the problem? Because we don't give it to him and we try to carry it ourselves. Don't worry, God, I got this. He's like, all right, man, if that's what you want to do. That's how he talks to me. He probably doesn't talk to you that way. That's how he talks to me. All right, Toby, that's what you want to do. I'm here when you're ready. How many of you done that with your kids? Right? How many of you have you done that with your own kids? Like, yeah, you shouldn't do that, but if that's what you want to do, I'm going to help you pick it up when you come back home in a little while, right? But you let them do it. Why? Because that's what they want to do. Do you know that God will let you do what you want to do? We talked about it a couple of days ago when Saul was made king. The prophet of God said to him, "You don't want a king. You don't need a king. You don't want a king. You don't want a king. You don't want a king. This is what's going to happen if you get a king." They're like, "We want a king and we want Saul to be it." He's like, "All right, here you go. Here's Saul." How'd that work out for him? Not good, right? Anyway, God gives us strength to walk through things. We need to give it to him. We need to rest in him. We need to allow his strength to take care of us. Most of the time, we do like the woman with the issue of blood and said she didn't come to Jesus until after she had spent everything she had and she had no other options. You want me to tell you my opinion on something? My opinion. You ready? Yo, who wants my opinion? Hey, how come nobody raised their hand? Wait a minute. No. It's like, I put mine up. I'm good. Do you know why in other countries we see people that shriveled up arms come loose? How blinded eyes are seen? How all these miracles are happening in other places, but they're not happening here. Do you know why? Because we got other alternatives to going to God with our stuff. They're at the point where, God, if you don't do something, it ain't going to get done. The faith that they have. Now, don't take, like, Jesus said, we don't need to go to doctors because they're evil. No, that's not what I said. But you need to go to God with everything. You need to go to God with everything and allow him to give you the strength and give you what's next in your notes is provision. How many of you know God is the one who provides for us? I love the story of the little old lady that was struggling, and she'd go out on her porch every day and pray, and she had an atheist that lived next door to her, and she'd go out on her porch, and she'd pray loud every day, and she'd pray, and he'd get so aggravated. But one day, he heard her, and he said, God, I don't have any food. I don't have any money to get food. I don't know how I'm going to get it. I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know what's going on or what I'm going to do. You have to come through for me. You're the only option that I have. The atheist heard it. He's like, watch, I'm going to show her. He ran to the store. He bought all kind of groceries. He put them back, and he put them on her front porch and ran and hid behind the bushes, rang the doorbell. She came out. She's like, God, you provided. And he jumped out. He's like, nah, it was me. She's like, and you used the devil to do it, God. That's amazing, right? You brought me groceries, and you used the devil. It's a great thing. How many of you know God is our provider? However he decides to bring it to us, he's our provider. You know what? You lose a job, God's your provider, not that job. Right? You got some issues coming. You got some things that are like being taken away from you. Hey, God is your provider, not that place. Not the government. God is your provider. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. There's that word again. Where's it at? In Christ Jesus. Everything that we need in Christ Jesus. He's our provision. The next thing, he gives us love. You know God loves you even though you're messed up. I'm like, Pastor just said I was messed up. Yeah, but there's some good news. Everybody else is too. You're not alone in it. And no matter what happens, his love won't be taken from us. No matter what you do, his love isn't taken from you. He still loves you. How do we know that? Because he sent his son. That's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He gave his son before we even knew we needed a savior. Before you and I were even thought of, he said, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to take care of you. He loves us. Romans 8:37 and 39 says, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything that you need is in Christ Jesus. Everything that you need, God paid for through the new covenant that came. Again, it doesn't take away the old covenant. The old covenants are still there. Jesus fulfilled them all. Jesus took care of them all. Jesus said, hey, they were lacking in this area, but now they are taken care of because of what I've done. You know what? And I say it like that, and it's wrong. I don't think Jesus would be that prideful and boastful. I think God would say, it's all done because of my son and what he did. The proud papa. Huh? My son took care of these things so that you could have access to me. And going back to it all, do you know what it's all about? It's all about, from the beginning of time, relationship with him. Going back to the garden. Walking with God, talking with God, having God be a part of everything in our life, not just a part of some things. How many of you know God and Jesus aren't compartmentalized in your life? If they are, you're doing it wrong. That's one of the things, man. With this covenant, we are given an amazing gift. But if we don't take that gift, does it do us any good? All right, so I'm not really doing this. I'm not. I'm just going to say this. After church, when I'm taking everybody to dinner, I'm paying for it all. I'm not doing this. I'm just saying that, right? I'm not. I tell you where we're going to go. We're going to go to the Chinese restaurant down there on the corner. I'm going to pay for everybody that goes there. I'm going to someplace else, though. But anyway, but what happened? So for me to say that, say, hey, I'm going to buy everybody dinner. Everybody, if you come to this place. Do you know what? Some of you are going to come to the place and reap the benefit of the dinner. Some of you are not. How many of you know, unless you come for the dinner, you don't reap the benefit? Same principle with Christ. God has put everything you need in front of you and given it to you and said, here it is, take it. I love what the old scripture, the old book says. It says, today I give you a choice, life or death, blessing or curse. I want you to choose life, but it's your choice. Do you know whether you walk in the new covenant or not? Do you know whose choice that is? It's your choice. Your choice. God has done all these things and laid them before you and say, this is what I want for you. Come. Come. Do you notice that Jesus, when he went to anybody, all he said was, hey, follow me, and took off. He didn't tell them what they were getting. He didn't tell them where they were going. He just said, hey, follow me. And they were all like, man, this guy, I'm following him. But some of them didn't. Some of them said, I got more important things. I got a lot of money. The rich young ruler, he's like, man, I got a lot of stuff, and let me go take care of a couple things, and then I'll come follow you. He's like, hey, man, don't look back. Do you know today is your opportunity? You say, I've given my life to him. I've done that. I understand that. I'm asking you, are you walking in the new covenant or not? Because I can say all kinds of stuff and do something totally different. You know how I know that? Because we're men. We're mankind. We're men and women. Women, I'm going to put you in this one too. Not just the men. We all say things and then do the opposite. But for us to honestly do it, is another thing altogether. And again, like I said earlier, God doesn't look at the outside and how holy we look in front of everybody. He looks at our heart, the way we look when we're by ourselves, when we're it's just us and him. And so you're the only one that knows what commitment you've made to him and how much of your life you've given to him. And I want to encourage you, whether you've known him for a month or a week or you're just going to meet him today or you've known him for 30, 40, 50 years, I want you to look at your life and examine where you're at right now and say, God, what have I got in my life that does not belong? What do I have in my life that's slowing me down? Remember in the scripture, he says, throw off all the weight and the sin that easily sets you back as we run the race. You guys remember that? Run the race. Lay aside every weight and sin. So not every weight is sin. There's some stuff that you got in your life that isn't a sin, but it's holding you back from what God wants you to be and who he called you to be. It may be a good thing. It's not a God thing. You need to put God first. And you know what? If the good thing's not a bad thing, God will give it back to you. You know how I know that? My dad. My dad taught me a lot of stuff. Do I got time? I got time. My dad. I'm still finishing early. He's like, yeah, I'm looking at time, Pastor. You like lying in church. No, listen. My dad loved fishing. I've told you guys this before. Some of you guys have, some of you haven't. My dad loved fishing. When him and my mom got married, my dad worked as an assistant manager at a grocery store, and he would leave the grocery store straight from work and go fishing. My mom would cook dinner and meet him at the fishing hole. And then they would go home. If it was raining, my dad was at home going through his tackle box, making sure all of his stuff was right, checking his poles, fixing everything, doing all the maintenance. He loved fishing. When he gave his life to Christ, he said, I can't do both. He said, because this is taking all my time. This is where I want to be. This is what I'm doing, but I'm giving my life to Christ, and I can't do both. Is fishing a bad thing? No, unless you put it in the place of God in your life. So what happened is his dad said, you know what, I'm going to give you fishing, God. I'm just going to stop. He would go every now and then when somebody would ask him, and he would go, you know, like ministry, right? He would go because somebody was like, if you're stuck in a boat with somebody, how many of you know you're stuck 6 foot away from somebody in a boat, you can't get away from what they're talking about. Well, depends on how far you are from the bank, I guess. You could jump and swim, I guess. But it's one of those things. So he used it as a ministry tool. But other than that, he gave it to God. But do you know what? In the years of his ministry, my dad, God put him in a place that he lived on a canal where he would get up in the morning, go outside and cast 3 or 4 times and fish, and then come back in and do studies and do what he had to do and go where he had to go, and then come back at lunchtime. He'd go out and he'd catch a couple fish at lunchtime and then put his stuff back, and he'd go back, and then before he went to bed at night, he'd go out and he'd fish a little bit and cast. Why? Because it wasn't bad. He put it in the right place. God gave it back to him. So remember that, don't put the good things in front of God, right? Don't let them weigh you down for what he has for you. And if they're not bad, he'll give them back to you. He will, if you put them in the right place. And so I want to encourage you today, man. That's my last squirrel. I'm not chasing another one. We're about to stop. I want to encourage you today. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. You can cut on the music for me back there. This is what I want you. Man, you were already on it. This is what I want you to think about. Where is my life? Where am I at? What things do I have in my life? Am I walking in the new covenant? Am I accepting and walking in what in Christ, Jesus, as all these scriptures said, all these scriptures in Christ, this is where we find all these promises. All the promises of God are found where? In Christ. Are you walking in Christ? Are you doing what Paul says and putting on Christ every morning when you get up? Are you putting him on? Are you saying, God, I'm giving you this day. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be who you want me to be. I'm going to follow you. Are you doing that? Or are you just getting up and then remembering halfway through the day, oh yeah, man, I forgot to talk to God today. You know what? It's about a relationship. He wants you to come to him with everything. He wants to do life with you. But he wants you to follow him. This morning, man, you got some stuff you want to give to God. You got some things you need to stop. You be honest. You put your hands up. Nobody's looking but cash. You got some things you need to give up. Just put your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. You guys at home, man, you got some stuff you need to give to God. Let's give it to him this morning. Let's understand what the new covenant is, what Christ died for, what he gave to us, the promises that are there, and let us walk in those promises. Dear Heavenly Father, you saw the hands that were raised. You know the hearts that raised them, God. You look on the inside. I ask that you would allow us to see the issues, the problems, the things we need to change. God, I understand that this is a hard prayer for us to pray, because if we ask you, you're going to show us. God, make us ready to see these things. Holy Spirit, make us ready to change these things. Make us ready to give these things to you and allow you to change them. Let me say it in a better way. Let us walk in you, in your strength, in your might, in your freedom, in your grace, in your mercy. And help us extend it to everybody else we come in contact with. Help us do that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. I love you guys. This is what I want you to do. Again, 7 days this week. 7 days. There's still 7 days in a week, right? Didn't change it? Okay. That means you got 7 days to tell 7 different people about Jesus. 7 days to tell 7 different people about Jesus. Don't go to the same person. Don't go to somebody you already know saved. That's cheating. Right? Make it a stranger. Make it somebody you don't know. Make it somebody you're standing in line with. Remember how I talked about being on a boat and they're 6 feet from you, they can't get away? Wait till you're in line at Publix or Walmart and there's like 3 people behind you and there's like 3 people in front of them and they're stuck in between the candy and you. They got nowhere to go. It's your chance. It's your time. Say something. Tell them how good God is in your life. God's good. Jesus died for me. He loves me. He loves you too. Can I tell you about Jesus and how he changed my life? Nope. Okay. Well, you already told him he changed your life. That's a start. Maybe next time. Right? Find some people. Share his love, grace, and mercy. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, as we get ready to go out these doors, God, I ask that you see our hearts. I ask that you help us with our issues and our problems and our struggles, Father God. We cast them on you. We give them to you. And we ask that you would help us find opportunities and see the opportunities that you've given us to share your love, grace, and mercy with other people, Father God. And let us get good at doing it. Let us understand the importance of doing it. Help us to understand that maybe nobody else has ever told them before. Or maybe they have and they weren't ready to receive it then, but maybe they are today. God, I ask that you'd help us with that and help us be sensitive to the needs of the people that are around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Love you guys. We'll see you later.